gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
Antonia Barnett McIntosh is a Tamaki-based composer, performer, sound artist, editor, and curator. Her multidisciplinary practice often seeks out various modes of connection through collaboration, collaborating between the threshold spaces of speech, music, performance, rehearsal, composition, and writing, drawing connections between mediums, finding this mutual thread between artistic outputs to build upon, often working with musicians, dancers, poets, visual artists, and filmmakers. In her current exhibition at Room Ponder of Transported Local Delicacies, Barnett McIntosh presents a beautiful sound installation which comprises captured moments of field recordings and speech, applying this musical thought to speech that approaches speech as an instrument in itself, tuning into its inherent musicality, reflecting on this in-between state of the live and the documented dwelling in one's mind and body. The sound work itself is dispersed across four channels, creating this dynamic sound landscape that morphs and shifts as one moves across the space. Alongside the sound installation, Barnett McIntosh offers a secondary mode of documentation within the show text through a piece of writing by writer Lisa Samuels. Samuels will also be involved in a collaborative activation of the gallery space with Barnett McIntosh through a series of performances, emphasizing the active liveliness of the gallery space and the circulative artistic discourse. I caught up with Antonia about the show as well as her overall practice.
Kia ora, my name is Antonia Barnett McIntosh and I live in Tāmaki Makaurau. I whakapapata kai tahu, still researching a lot of that, kind of histories. Yeah, and I lived quite a while in London and Berlin as well before kind of returning.
Yeah.
My practice kind of started in like classical music composition. But then I did a master's in London. That's kind of what I was doing over there, and ended up collaborating with a lot of people from other disciplines. And so I kind of broadened my practice from there, which became quite experimental and collaborative, cross-arts, a lot more experimental since then.
Wonderful. And your current exhibition on at Room, A Ponder of Transported Local Delicacies, presents this beautiful liminal sound installation. I'd like to start this conversation by speaking a little bit to the beginning of this show. Did this specific work come off the back of a previous project, or rather find its footing in something new that you really wanted to dive into?
I guess, yeah, everything I've been doing lately has been around speech and the musicality of everyday speech, or how sometimes if it's for instruments as well, has been text related, like verbal scores. And so, yeah, I'm interested in speech generally at the moment. And this piece itself kind of formally is similar to a work I did a few years ago at Bundanon in rural New South Wales. So in that it's here, it's four channels and is made up of speech material, found sounds, kind of some found objects and playing around. There's like a little bit of cello in there and some, and field recordings. And so I think, yeah, I've tried to balance the four channels, so not one is like a soloist in any way. They're kind of all complementary, so you could listen to them all at the same time, or you could kind of walk up and closer and kind of focus on one, and the others are kind of in the background, and then you change which one it is.
Yeah, nice.
And it's quite short, so it's 6:20, so you could kind of spend whatever time you wanted to kind of explore the different layers of that.
Yeah, beautiful. And what drew you to sound work and installation and performance within your practice? Like, what does this mode of artistic communication kind of allow you and offer you with these conceptual ideas that you were kind of circulating within your practice?
I guess coming from the more like grounded musical composition space, it was very much, you know, like the composer is in a room writing a score and then hands it over kind of to players and is often part of that rehearsal process, or I like to be, and then you kind of collaborating in that way, but it's very much like I've done this and then you do that. When I've started collaborating, I've been really interested in working with people so that we're kind of dual directors or dual, we're collaborating together and our parts are equal. So my expertise might be in the music composition side of things, but what we're both bringing together from different disciplines or even the same discipline sometimes, then, it kind of works together in a way where it's a conversation. And so we're all kind of making... in the making, and sometimes it takes a lot more time to do that too, like all together in a room.
Yeah, the patience and the, you've kind of got to take the time to listen a bit more, like rather than if you're just in your own thoughts and your own thing, you've got to take that step back and listen.
Well, also explain sometimes.
Yeah,
so different words mean different things to different art disciplines, right? So it's, there's a bit of translation and kind of exploration around language there. So it was through collaboration I got into more performing because, I mean, you know, I used to play the cello on the piano and I still do a little bit, but I had kind of done less of that and then got into performing quite a bit with, a few people from different disciplines, particularly around speech. And so then that kind of took off as my, like, instrument in a way,
Beautiful. And within this specific installation piece, audiences are presented with this wonderful sonic index of sounds, grasping from various moments of speech and field recordings. Do you want to speak a little bit to these recordings? Where did these snippets kind of arise from?
Sure. So I'm kind of constantly taking notes and, like, listening to how people speak, what the languages that they're using to communicate or how their conversation might overlap. And I think of speech, especially in this context, as being like an abstracted musical kind of unit, I guess, units, plural.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about rhythm and texture and how things are kind of composed together, layered up, like as if it's kind of a harmony and it's quite melodic. And so I'm kind of, attributing musical thought to speech. And then some field recordings, like there's a cello note in there and there's some, like, recordings of a river and some, like, squeaky floorboards and things like that. Just sounds that I liked when I heard them and recorded them.
Some
of it's, like I heard some school kids talking on the bus about their grades and someone said a low E, which is like direct musical reference in a way. And so then I put like this low E in the piece, and so it's kind of, bits and pieces of that. And then I was reading a book about kind of amateur naturalism, like people exploring natural history. And so there's little, I kind of have taken some found text from various different places. And that's where the, like, lists of animals and plants kind of come into it. And I've tried to keep everything kind of quite even. So in that way where it's abstracted sound, it can kind of just, you can experience it as a wash of sound and text and you can listen to it without caring about the meaning, or you can find some meaning in something as an audience member, kind of,
Yeah, lovely. So you've got these kind of sounds that you didn't maybe intentionally kind of go out looking for, but they're, but you were just kind of like wandering around and you find them and you're like, oh, that's really, that's really nice.
Well, I guess part of like the conceptual side of it too is that I was kind of interested in reciprocity and mutuality and time and travel and mapping and things like that. And so I guess it's kind of passive in that way that things have come to me, but I've then been actively listening in order to kind of create an awareness around them, to kind of include them and put them in conversation with each other.
The state of, I'm gonna be a bit more like in tune with my surroundings in order to like dial in to the, to my specific, these, because quite often you can go around not noticing these sounds and not noticing these things that are around you, and then once you do, it's like, oh, then you can't not.
It's that kind of presence that's there, or like feeling present, and also that presence of, I kind of talk about it in the booklet a little bit. So I've made a booklet with Lisa Samuels, who did some text, some exhibition text alongside the show. And so, and there I kind of write about collections and also, thinking about the lived experience being like what's really live and what's in front of you, and then some of it's like memory or documented things and how that can kind of coexist. Yeah, and so I've tried to put that in the installation, that kind of idea as well.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. And then from these capturing of the recordings and of these moments, how do they then move into this layered sound piece? What does that like combining and editing kind of process look like for you?
I guess for me it's intuitive in a way, but it's like based on my experience and my practice and the way I would compose something generally. Mm. And sometimes in my practice that has been kind of like chance based, and so ordering things together or combining certain aspects, musical aspects together by inputting some kind of different options and then combining them in ways that are sometimes quite unwieldy.
Yeah.
And for this, I've just tried to get that balance between the channels so that they're kind of, if there are, like where there are field recordings, they're kind of evenly spaced across the four channels. Mm-hmm. And same with the speech and the kinds of material. Like one doesn't have exclusively the field recordings and another one exclusively, you know, the stuff about natural history. It's kind of spread across. I also quite like works that kind of start and finish and you can just drop into it and leave it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, you know, so this has shape and there are textural structures, but at the same time, it's like this, it's in a particular sound world. And also it plays on loop without any break. So people can't really tell where the end is.
No, I was there and I was like, have I listened to the whole thing? Is it repeating? You kind of get swooped into its own little world where you don't quite know where you've intersected it maybe. Yeah. And I wanted to speak a little bit more on the installation of this work. As you said, the sound is fragmented between these four individual speakers, which it's really lovely. Like, I think when I first walked in there, I didn't quite realize that they were all different, and it's kind of not until you move around that space where you really have that really, it's quite dynamic, like different experiences as you walk around the space. Do you want to speak a little bit to this decision behind this kind of fragmented sound installation?
Sure. I mean, I guess for me, when I was working on it, I didn't really think of it as fragmented. It's kind of an interesting word that you... I love that you've had that experience.
Do you know what I mean?
It's spread.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like I could listen to a recording of all the four channels together and that's kind of the whole, and then it's been kind of dispersed and moved around. And I think there's only one moment where it's kind of the same expression said in different ways that happens at the same time across all speakers, and that's kind of the only time that happens.
Yeah.
And it's kind of partway through. But I don't know. I just kind of intuited which would want what when. and I quite closely edit. And if I put something together and the timing is not quite right, or often I'm like experiencing it with a beat of a certain kind in a certain place, and then the beat might be different somewhere else, but I'm thinking of speech in that musical way where words relate to each other, but there's still a pulse kind of happening in the background. Things kind of pull it together and then pull it apart again as well.
I feel like it, compared to if the sound was just projecting from one speaker, by having that, I don't know if there's a word, like spatializes the sound and creates it more, it brings the sound more into the space and makes it more of like a interaction with the viewer.
Well, the speakers themselves, they're from like a home studio kind of thing. Audio Foundation helped me out big time and loaned those. So they're from that kind of experience where it's like a surround sound kind of home studio experience.
Nice. And you have kind of touched on it already, but I wanted to speak a little bit more of this kind of documented dialogue of sorts between you and Lisa Samuels that's in the show text. It offers this really beautiful alternative mode of documentation to the work. Do you want to speak a little bit more in depth about that conversation and why you chose to document it in that show text?
Well, I've been really interested in Lisa's work for a while now, and So I was kind of exploring how my practice kind of comes from music, but it's quite speech related, and her practice as a poet and essayist and thinker is kind of, comes towards speech as well in that way. And we're both kind of interested in, when people speak, having different layers and different shapes and sounds and that kind of polyphony around it, and that meaning can kind of be interjected, I guess. Yeah. That's probably more me. The meaning can be kind of interjected between, like, different layers of speech. And so I asked her to write something and completely just trusted what she would, you know, come up with. I also sent her some other recordings of other sound installations I've done in the past, and kind of... often I then make a version that's for performance with headphones. And so, when I've done these sound installations before, there's like a kind of 5-minute performance alongside it, which is me with headphones listening to some speech that I'm trying to relay live, like with the goal of sounding like this like score in my ears. And that can be quite difficult, quite layered, and I'm kind of navigating my way through, and the audience is trying to navigate their way through at the same time. I feel like Lisa's work also kind of comes into that in a way. And so, on Saturday we're also going to be performing together a couple of new works, which have kind of come out of this. And some is related to headphones, some is reading and like rules-based kind of game play with, kind of compositional ideas around the text that's in the booklet that we've made, as well as, the work from the installation itself.
Yeah, wonderful. That was going to be my next question to ask you about that. That all sounds wonderful. But I was also going to ask how this kind of performances and this activation of the gallery space, how they specifically speak to and kind of interact with the sound work, like how do they kind of layer upon each other and how do they communicate in that space?
Yes. Okay, so that's a great question. I kind of think already there are lots of, before even the sound installation exists, there are lots of versions of the work. So there's like my notes that are handwritten in a notebook or maybe on my phone. There's like building up a score, there's chopping it up and rearranging it and editing the text itself. Yeah. And then there's me recording some of that stuff and then editing it again. And so there's kind of all of these layers. And I kind of think also coming from like a live music practice that it's really nice to activate spaces and galleries and the sound installation kind of exists there, but it's also, interesting to me to kind of bring people into the space in not a formal way, but a more formal way to, engage with it in a different kind of medium, that liveness. And so trying to kind of incorporate that, or often I will run like workshops and things like that around the practice to kind of see it from different sides and experience it with other people in the room, which I think is really important. Like I didn't just make a thing to be like, oh, yep, that's me. So to bring people in, and we'll probably have, a few minutes, we'll be around to chat after the performances. And so, just having discourse around the work itself is kind of important to me too.
Yeah, activating it in like multiple ways by having those performances, but also by allowing a space for more dialogue to take place and having that discourse kind of make a more circulative discussion and everything.
Yeah, so that it's living. It's not just like static in
the
room.
No, it's not the stormy thing. It's like, oh, I've made and it's done and now it's here. It's like, no, it's still kind of producing and activating off that that thing.
Well, also there could have been thousands of different versions of that sound installation that just happens to be how it ended up this time with that material. Using that same material, it could have been, any number of different kind of iterations of it. Yeah. So I quite like playing with that as well.
Great. And lastly, what are your hopes for audiences engaging with this work?
Well, I don't want to project anything on anybody. I feel like it's quite open. I mean, speech is something that most of us do. And so for people to kind of go along and just experience it and get out of it what their experience and knowledge brings to them. And also maybe they might hear something new that, sparks something else. But mainly just to kind of come along and experience it and reach out if there are any questions. I don't know. Have a chat about it.
That was Antonia Barnett McIntosh speaking to me about her current show On At Room, a ponder of transported local delicacies. The show is on until the 30th of May, and there is also an accompanying performance by Antonia and Lisa Samuels in the gallery space on the 9th of May, which is tomorrow. So that's from 2 to 2:40 p.m. tomorrow at Room. So yeah, be sure to go check that one out.